You keep saying over and over, and at least people can't say that. I mean, they might not agree with what you're saying, but at least they can't say what you're saying. You say it enough. But now, what have we found about the fifth seal? That in the opening of the fifth seal, we saw that there was no combat beast to announce this mystery under the fifth seal. And then we went in this morning and how that there was a great mystery, how the church was resurrected and sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then we started studying about that and seeing that the Word is what we're talking about. And I told you this morning that it would be revealed to us, the question was asked, what or how can the seals help us? That was the question that was asked. And I hope you're beginning to see that the seals help us because they reveal us. That was our thoughts this morning, that the Word is revealed as already there going into rapture. And then I begin to ask you some questions of where are we in the Bible? That if the Bible is already written and been written for 1900 years, and we can't add one word to this Bible, because if we do, God will add the plagues that's written in the book. If we take one word out of the book, the Bible, you know, then He'll take our name out of the book of life and the things written in the book. So we don't want to do neither one, but we want to see tonight where we are. Where are we in the book? We want to see what the book reveals about us and where we really are. As I said, if Brother Branham's message adds one word to the Bible, then that would be an addition to the Bible, just as much as anybody else. Brother Branham didn't have no more right. I was looking at it again today where he said on the unveiling of God, about page 40, where he was talking about how that they came to him and said, Brother Branham, with your ability, you could write a whole new Bible. No. He said, now they're trying to catch me. They said, well, Brother Branham, them seven thunders over there that John heard and was forbidden to write, said, they'll be given to somebody. See, they were saying, Brother Branham, maybe they'll be given to you. He said, now watch what you're saying. Because, said, and the unveiling of God was preached after the seal book was preached. He said, be careful what you're saying because, said, you'll add to the Word. Well, now, he didn't have a right to add to the Word. Nobody has a right to add one word to it. Even Jesus Christ said, I do nothing until the Father shows me. He couldn't add to the Bible no more than anybody else, him being God in human flesh. But what did we see this morning that Moses was? For his day and time and the hour, he was the alive Word, wasn't he? In the writing of the Bible down through there, when Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all of the journey of the children of Israel and how the creation was in Genesis, let me ask you this way if you think it wasn't the alive Word now, and something to do with himself. Where did he get serpent seed? Where did he get all of that that he wrote in Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 and all like that? Man could have told about the flood. The flood is a worldly known, you know, in other words, the scientific world knows that there was a flood. They can prove that. They know there was a flood. But where do you get all of that that Moses, who gave him the authority to sit down there and write? And when he wrote, he told of what happened in the Garden of Eden and how all the things was going on and the beasts were there and God created the world and all of the things. Where did he get all of that? When we're told that he got 10 commandments when he went up there and came down and wrote those 10 commandments and put it in book form, and right out of that 10 commandments somewhere had to come the revelation in all of the whole Bible. Where did Moses get all of that? He was the alive Word. He was the Word of that hour made alive. Just writing Genesis wouldn't do any good. Somebody lived that, didn't he? There was an Abraham that you read of in Genesis that was there and lived out his life And the Bible says that those Old Testament saints lived their lives out for our examples, it says, our ensamples. Now, they lived their lives for our example. And then we pick up the Bible and we read it. And when we read the Bible, we read of a Jeremiah and all the things that he done. We read of a Job and the things that he done. We read of a David and a Samuel and a Joshua and a Solomon and all the things that they done. Then we get over to the New Testament and we read of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how they recorded the life of Jesus Christ. Then we see Peter, James, and all of John and Paul in the writing of what we know as the New Testament, the book of Acts. As I said this morning, they each one were writing what was going on in their life, what was going on around them. See, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. What were they? They were the alive Word. They were the Word made alive. Now, to me and you now, where we are now, think about it. This Bible has been written, not this Scofield edition, but it's about 200 years since it's been put into book form like this, you know. What we call this, it used to be scrolls and things like that. But the Bible that we believe being the Bible was written almost 2,000 years ago. And yet, since that time, there has been a lot of men who lived their lives that were renowned men of the Bible. You know, I mean, speaking that a way of seeing the things that happened in the Bible recreated again in their lives. Were those men an addition to the Bible? Was Luther an addition to the Bible? Was Wesley, was the Pentecostals, was all of these seven church ages that we see here, were they an addition to the Bible? Each age was the alive Word. Then where are they in the Bible? You say, well, I can read to you, might be a little ahead of where I'm trying to get to, but you'll say, I can read to you where that there are seven church ages there in Revelations 2 and 3, you know, the second and the third chapter. You say, that put them in the Bible. All right, now let's take that example. If you can tie it together with what we're talking about this morning, take that as an example. That is a writing in the Bible. Revelations 2 and 3, that's the writing of the seven church ages and as it come down. But you don't see there in the writing in Revelations 2 and 3, that's not the alive Word, is it? They had not lived it yet. That was a prophecy of what they would be down through the ages, wasn't it? Just as we said this morning, it's a prophecy where you read there that you're changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. That's not happened yet, has it? No one, the Scripture says, approached immortality but the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, those that have died and gone on, they're in the place of paradise or what we would call heaven, but they're not there in their body. Their body's in the grave waiting the resurrection and their change to be united with it again. So no one has went totally into immortality except the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then, looking at the church ages, you can say, well, the church ages are written in Genesis and Revelations, the second chapter and the third chapter. You know, that covers the seven church ages written there. But that's only prophecy of a future event. That's something that would come to pass. Sure, that puts them in the letter of the Word. Just as I read to you that the Bible says, ye are our written epistles, known and read of all men. Now I'll read you out a while where that's us. We've got to be written epistles. Not an addition to the Bible, but an epistle that's been written. All right, then in that, we know that the Bible, in what we're speaking about, this is the Word. Now, as I said this morning, don't get me wrong, this is the Word. But it's not the manifested Word. Now, Jesus Christ was the Word made manifest. see, in human flesh. He was all of this word made manifest in human flesh. All right, then we can say, well, down through seven church ages. See, man was still living the word that had been written about them. But it was not made manifest when it was written here. Now, you get my background of what I'm trying to say to you. Just because it's written of the first church age to the church at Ephesus, or in Revelations 2 in the first verse, and says, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Somebody had to make that word alive. Well, when they made that word alive, then was that an addition to this Bible? Or was that what was written in this Bible about them made alive in human flesh? Now that ought to let you know what I'm talking about. That ought to bring to your remembrance all of this morning's message and see what I've been driving at now for some nearly a month or two. Somebody has got to make alive that word that will be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. Alright, somebody's got to make alive that word where it says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death's not destroyed yet. It's still killing people every day and taking them to the grave. That scripture's not fulfilled yet. That scripture, even though it's in this Bible, even though man has read it for thousands of years now, almost 2,000 years they've read that same scripture, that scripture has still not yet to this day been made alive. We say, that's the Bible. Well now, is it the alive word of the Bible? No, it's not the alive word yet. It's the word. It's God's thought that he has in this book. You remember this morning what I was bringing you out on page 288 of the sealed book? Brother Brown said, this is God's thought. He put it in this book. But he said, you got to get it from that. He gives it to you. It becomes your thought. He said, it's still not the word until you speak it. All right, then that's what I've been trying to get out of the spoken word. What will it be? What would Brother Branham keep on bringing out about the spoken word? He said, if you say to this mountain, he said, first it comes a thought. It's your thought. Moses got a thought, see. It was Moses' thought. Something in Moses' thought said, Moses, God speaking to him, said, Moses, go out there and hold your rod out. Moses walks out there, holds his rod out, says, let there be flies. He turns around, walks back. Ain't a fly nowhere. But maybe in a few minutes or a few hours, don't make no difference. You see a little fly. Brother Brown said, maybe 5 minutes, you see a little old fly start flying around. He said, first thing you know, said, they're 10 pounds per square inch or something like that, of flies. That man's word then became alive. What if Moses has just received a thought from God about Genesis and had never written it out? Then it wouldn't have been the word, would it? You see why it's so important to me and you to study the Bible, for God to speak to us from that Bible. And then it becomes the alive word in us, and then you don't have no troubles then. Where the trouble is at is people are trying to figure this Bible out. Without the Holy Spirit being in them, they're trying to figure it out, and when they do, they go haywire, as a man said here a while back. He said, you go gray-headed trying to figure out what Brother Branham said. Oh, like we was talking about Daniel 70 weeks. He said that, why, you'd go gray-headed trying to figure that out. Well, that's true. You can't make it match no way you'd want to. As Brother Woodby said, if you could find a starting point, all these dates of people thinking that 83 is going to be the end of it, you know, and Easter Sunday and all like that, trying to figure out that would be the end of it, that proves that their end is here, but for them to try to figure it out, how can you figure it out? You'd have to find the original date somewhere. And if a man can tell me the rapture will be on Easter Sunday, April the 3rd, I think that's the date this year, then he can tell me the exact date Noah entered the ark. Because he's got a day to start with. You show me any day in the Bible and put that date exactly to where it's supposed to be, whether it be the one in Genesis that started or the end of it over here, and then I'll put every scripture in the Bible together by that date. But I don't have a starting point. See, I don't have a starting point. Neither do they. They think they've got one. They think they've got a win. One man said, they tried to figure theirs out by time. No, I got mine by revelation. Well, everybody claims they got it by revelation. But now you think, when God wrote in the Bible, there in Revelations 2, he said there'd be a church at Ephesus. And he told what it would be, and he said, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and he said, I hate that also. Now somebody had to come along and make that word alive. And then we see a first church age come right now. We see a messenger, Paul, bringing the message to the age. And the first church age going out. They made the word alive. It was no longer just dead letter. You couldn't question it no more. You remember this morning, Brother Branham said, as long as it's on the pages of this Bible, it can be questioned. Every denomination in the world takes their doctrine out of this Bible. Is that true? They don't use Augustine's Book of Records to get their doctrine out of, do they? Or an encyclopedia, they use this Bible to get it from. All right, 969 of them, as I said, 969 different organizations of this message, and you know what? Every one of them gets their doctrine from what the prophet said. Now, is the Bible that confused that there's 969 different ways of looking at it? Now, we know better than that. Is this message confused so much that there's 969 different ways of looking at it? Now, we know better than that, don't we? The message, though, as long as it's laying there in those books, then people can say, well, bless God, I got this good message. God ought to stay with mine till then. I've told my own wife. You remember back there in the Bible when Dathan and Korah come up against Moses and they said, we're spiritual also, Moses. You take too much upon yourself. Moses said, all right, let's just see. You get your censer and stand out there with it tomorrow. And you know their wives and their family and all of them. 250 priests stood out there with him. When man sins, he just don't sin by himself. I had a message years ago, I never did preach it. But when you sin, you don't sin by yourself. Your family will go with you 9 times out of 10. And I've cautioned my own wife, and I caution my children, don't stay with daddy just because daddy is my daddy. Don't stay with him like that. Don't you follow with me just because I'm Samuel and I've been a... You know, I've known you a long time and you're a good person. Don't stay with me on account of that. Don't do it. Brother Collie, he's the best friend I've got. But don't stay with him, Brother Collie, just because I'm me. Don't do it. If you find me out of that word, go. Because you'll die with me. Man never sins by himself. But they come up there and they said, look. They said, we're spiritual also, Moses. He said, all right, let's just see who's spiritual. Go get your censer. And they filled them full of fire right off the altar where Moses had Aaron to get his. You know what happened to him, don't you? The fire from the altar went right straight out and got them 250 priests and destroyed them because two men thought they were spiritual also. You know what happened to their families? Their families were destroyed. The earth opened up, swallowed their families, and just closed back up on them. Don't stay with nobody just on account of that. Check everything that's said. Watch what they say. Then you won't get caught. Then you'll see that what we're talking about is not just something that you can question and say, well, my message is just as good as yours. We'll just wait and see if God backs up. Let's don't go that way. I ain't never been one that would stand. I've heard people stand and say, I'll be glad when Ananias and Sapphira come. I won't. Neither was Peter. Peter loved Ananias and Sapphira. They might have been his best friends. He might have eaten in their house and slept with them a lot. I'm sure that tears was in Peter's eyes the day he said, why'd you lie against the Holy Ghost? Let's don't go that way. Just think about it now. Somebody's got to make this word live. You've got every age as it comes down. Now, I want you to think about that, because that seems to be the place that I'm getting started at. You know yourself that there was, as we covered this morning, there were five books in the Bible, Moses writing those. They were the alive word. They were people that lived that word. Down through the ages, they lived that word. All through the New Testament, they lived that word. They wrote about it. Brother Branham says they'll write a book of Acts behind this church, but he said there won't be nobody here to read it. Now, what's he talking about? As I said this morning, will that be an addition to the Bible? If you wrote a 23rd chapter of Revelation and made it the book of Acts, you'd be adding to this Bible. You can't add one word to it. If you do, you add the plagues written in the book. You can't take one word out of it. If you do, you'll take your name out of the book. All right, now we don't want to go that way. We want to see what it means that you're a written or our written epistle. Let's just think about it now. Where are we written in the Bible? Where are we written there now? So just think now. Somebody's got to make that word alive. Now catch this and you'll see what I'm talking about when I come on down. Paul and the first church made alive that word for their age. Until they made it alive, it was just a prophecy that was in the book. The next age, as it came along, Smyrna, Irenaeus and them made that word live. That was almost at that time 300, 400, 500 years. Some of these ages here, like down in the Laodicea where we are now, almost 2,000 years from the time of the writing. God made a prophecy in the book. Then in making that prophecy in the book, somebody has to make the word for this hour alive. And live it. Luther's age has done finished. He made alive that word for his age. Wesley's age done finished. The Pentecostal age done finished. Now we're not talking about, you know, the Laodicean age goes all the way out. But the early Azusa Street Pentecostal people, as they went forth with a revival, that's over with and gone. We're in a different time now. We're still in the Laodicean age, but a different time of the Bride of Christ. There's a word for me and you to make alive. Now, where are we at then in that word? You say, well, that put us in the Bible. All right, now, I'm going to agree with you. That put us in the Bible when we read it there. When we can read of the church of Laodicea right, and the angel of Laodicea right, you know, going on like it, that put us in the Bible. But are we the alive word? And we've got to have more proof now than to just say, and remember, everything I've tried for the longest to bring up to you is proof, 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 proof. All right, then, if I ask you, I'd say, where are we in the Bible? You say, well, we're written there in Brother Dale in Revelations 3:14, where it says, unto the angel of the church at Laodicea. You just got through proving that point to us. If that ain't done yet, that's prophecy. Is that true? That's just prophecy. Sure, that puts us in the Bible, but now where's the alive word? You say, that's what we're living right now. All right, put that back in the Bible now. And let's see if we can find something in that Bible that shows me and you alive. Then we'll know what it means when we read that we are written epistles, known and read of all mankind. Then we won't be an addition to the Bible. We'll be standing there with the Bible. Now just think. If we'll watch, we'll see something that'll be revealed to us from the seals how we are the alive word. I'm talking about right now. I ain't talking about a prophecy. I ain't talking about future tense. I'm talking about right now, we can find our place in the Bible in the seals. I ain't talking about just the writing of Revelations 3:14 and all like that and coming through there. I ain't talking about that. That's prophecy if it ain't completed yet. So we're part of the seals, but if we'll look at the seals rightly, we'll see we are the alive word. And when you get to the fifth seal, you have no combat beast. So they something takes you up into a heavenly place, all right? Let's let our minds this night go into a heavenly atmosphere for a moment and just see where we are in the Word. Then we'll see the seals, and then the question will be answered, how does the seals help us? Listen, the seals reveal us. That's what the seals reveal is us. But now I want you to think now. We're going to go through something very close step by step. But now you think a minute now. One seal, that's page 337, 338 of the seal book. One seal, now, will tie the entire Bible together. You don't need four. One will tie it together. All right, if one seal will tie the entire Bible together, then let's think a minute about it now. Let's just look at something maybe for sake of our understanding. Have you ever wondered why? Now listen, if one seal will tie the entire Word together, and that's what the prophet said, check those pages, then why would the prophet start in the church ages when speaking on the seals? Why didn't he start in Genesis 1? Had you ever thought about that? Why didn't he start in Genesis 1? Now think a minute and maybe you'll see it. Genesis 1 had already been made alive. The whole entire Old Testament had already been made alive. The book of Acts, at the time John wrote it, Darcy, had already been made alive. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all that done been made alive. Church at Ephesus, you know, there, the Ephesians, the Corinthians, the Galatians, the book of Hebrews, Peter, James, and John, Jude, all of that had done been made alive by somebody, hadn't it? Well, then the seal is going to reveal the alive Word. So the place to start at is where? Now watch, you'll see why it starts there. You'll see what the drawing's talking about over there. Why did he start in the ages? Why didn't he start in Genesis? Why did God start showing to the church? And that's what he was going to do, was hand it down to the church for the time, and the seals just opened in part down through there. We know that. They didn't open in its fullness until it come down here at the end time and the prophet and the message. Now, we know all the message about that. But why did God start off showing us in the first seal a church symbol? Well, that's easy, church. The rest of the Word had done been made alive. You know, except for change a moment, twinkle of an eye, some of the prophecies that are still laying there for the future. All the rest had done been made alive. You had a prophecy of a future event when you wrote Revelations 2 and 3, and then when you get over into the seven seals, what do you start? You go right back to Revelations 2 and 3 and start off again. Why? Because the seals reveal the church. Now think of it this way. The seals reveal Christ through seven church ages. That's what the seals reveal. They reveal Christ through seven church ages. The actors, as Brother Brown said, let's put it like that for sake of our understanding. Now what if God had just took the first seal and said, I'm going to Genesis and start with it to you now, Brother Branham. You just go down there and preach to them, and we'll start off in Genesis 1, and we'll give you the first seal. Do you think you'd ever understood it? It's hard enough to understand now, ain't it? Those of us that studied the message for years and years and years know it's hard enough to understand the seals when he started in the church ages to give us an example. Isn't that true? It's hard enough like it is. What if God had said, I'm going back to Genesis and I'm going to start there and I'm going to show it to you. But yet the prophet said one seal will tie every scripture in this Bible together. You don't need seven, you just take one because it's the Holy Spirit. He'll tie every scripture in there together because the Holy Spirit is the seal. Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. And I've checked it in the Greek. That's the same seal as you find over in Revelation. It's not got a half a dozen definitions there of that. That's the same seal you find over in the book of Revelation. All right? Then, why did God start off? Like on 125 of the seal book. Where he said the actors of the seals begin in the ages. Then he drops on down just a little bit further on that page and he starts talking about how that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ throughout the seven church ages. Now he's talking about the seals. The seals are the revelation of Jesus Christ. Is that not true? Is that what we've been taught all of our life, that the seals are the revelation of Jesus Christ? All right, then the rest of the word's already been made alive. There's already been an Old Testament. There's already been a New Testament. There's already been a book of Acts. There's already been all the Gospels. There's already been all the writing of the New Testament. That's done been made alive by somebody. Paul caught that and said, back and forth in his writing seal, showing how Jesus was there. It was revealed to him. And he stood right there and made manifest that same scripture. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He stood right there and made it manifest before the people. Then, you don't have any writing of the first church age in the Bible other than just unto the angel of the church at Ephesus. Right, I say unto thee, thou hast the deeds of the Nicolaitans. This goes down through that way, which you hate and I hate too. And it just starts, comes down through there. You don't see nothing talking there of the alive word that was in the day and time. But when the prophet of God came in this last days and God broke the seals, where did he go to? He didn't go to the book of Acts and say, we'll start here. He didn't go to Matthew and say, we'll start here. He didn't go to Genesis and say, we'll start here, or Numbers, or anywhere. He went to where? To the first church age. And he began to speak. Look, all the rest of the word had done been made alive. But here's something that ain't been made alive. Here's a prophecy unto the church at Ephesus. Right. That wasn't alive. That was writing to a church. Then in the seal, you see him start right there showing that first seal, showing that there is an alive word being lived upon the earth. And it was called the church at Ephesus. All right, now check your seal book. And see if not what I'm quoting to you is right. Like 159 and 160 of the seal book. Be better just to read the first seal over again. Might help you. And watch what he talks about those ages and the seals and things. Now you don't compare a seal in a church age. That's not what I mean. Parallel a seal in the church age, you can compare one, but don't parallel. You wind up in the rapture on the fourth seal. We already got that written up there in the seventh church age. That might look mathematically off, but you've seen it down through there and know that it's true. But he rides out, Satan does, in the first church age as the Antichrist. And when it does, God sends the word out. We just got through studying the combat beast. God sends the word out to combat that, doesn't he? And it's the combat beast that says, come and see when the seal broke. So when you get over there to studying in the combat beast, you see one combat beast lasted for the first three ages, which was the lion. Is that right? The lion. We'll just put that up there where we can get to it. The lion lasted in first three ages. That first seal started showing the first church age. The first seal started showing the first church age. That's what he said, the actors of the seals. He said this is what God was going to show the church for a time. So what did that seal show of the first church age now? It showed the first church age as what? The alive word under the lion ministry in combat against the Antichrist. Then you come over there to the second seal and the second combat beast of your ox. You had done guy over showing to the fourth church age. Now right there it is, if you want to put it down where the combat beast is explained from 345 through 360 of the seal book. If you want to write it down, go home and study on it. But when the second seal breaks forth, it had done come up to the place of the ox, hadn't it? The second seal we saw covered first seal Antichrist in his right. Second seal come in with what? Pope. False prophet. To an Antichrist system. The seals, he didn't talk about the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, any of that. He talked about the church ages and the seals. That was what was so confusing to me when I looked at it years ago, wondering, well, if one seal will tie all the word together, why didn't he go back to Genesis and start with it? Now, you can do that after you see it. But the Holy Spirit knew we'd never see it. But there was another reason that we're now seeing, that the Word had not been made alive of that first three church ages until that line rode out there. That line of that combat beast made that Word live through three church ages. He's what made it live. He was the Spirit of God as a lion, or the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the Scripture says that. And John said, behold a lamb, and out come a lion. And check your Scripture, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's where he come out of, from natural lineages, if you'd ever want to check it, from the tribe of Judah. And he was the lion from that, and that was his emblem of Judah, was a lion. Well, now that lion made alive that word through them first three ages as it combated the Antichrist. Satan went out riding. Then that lion made that word live for that age. Can you see that seal then? That seal shows that that church was alive through that age. It's no longer the dead letter of the word. How do you know? Now, let me just put it plain and blunt and get honest with us, and maybe we can see what I'm talking about. Nothing else. How do you know there was a man named Paul? How do you know there was a church age? You're having to take somebody's word for it. Ain't that true? You're having to take a man's word for it that you read about that claims he read history. How do you know there was an Irenaeus, a Martin, or Columbo, or Luther? Anybody can jiggle the books a little bit with history and come up with anything, can't you? But listen, the seal reveals that there had to be the line of the tribe of Judah throughout them three church ages, and the first three ages made that word alive. It was no longer prophecy. It was no longer just written in the word and not lived. It was alive. You see what I'm talking about? It was alive. It was made alive by what? By the Holy Spirit in the combat beast of a lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah working among the people. Next one picks up what? The fourth church age is when your ox comes in to combat that Satan, as his stage had moved and advanced from just an Antichrist to a false prophet. But what did that ox do? Did that ox just go, well, it just lived and done, you know? No, the ox made alive that word for that time And right there, you see that seal as it come through was 68 million. Brother Brown said, you see that seal? Now, is that the way he stated it on the second seal? He said, you see what that seal is? Then that second seal revealed that killing of 68 million under that combat of an ox. But what did it reveal now? It revealed the church age there at Thyatira was an alive church and not just a prophecy written in the book. Now, then you pick up third seal. What was the combat beast on the third seal? Man. Third combat beast. Could come and see. What was it? Man. Luther and Wesley. Shrewd. Luther came out of the Catholic Church and said, the just shall live by faith. Protesting that Catholic Church, he had to be shrewd in his mind because if he hadn't, they'd have trapped him right back in there. Which they did, the Lutheran denomination. Pulled it right back into Catholicism. Right under a denomination, but the Lutherans didn't, the real genuine. See, then your third seal reveals that that dark age had already come out. See, the third one was the dark horse, and the church had went into a dark, but here comes a little light with Luther and Wesley. And what was that combat beast of that hour? It was the alive word. Now, them two church ages are no longer prophecy. The fifth and the sixth church age, they're no longer prophecy just written in the book. You can't question it. I've heard people preach the church ages before I ever heard of Brother Branham. A man at work was explaining, expounding on them, bringing out life. But now once that's made alive, there, and I see it from that prophet's message and see it from the seal now. Until I saw it from the seal, it could be questioned. But no longer can it be questioned. Why? Because the seal is the live word. Now you see where we're headed in, don't you? How does the seal help us? It reveals us. Now, seventh age. Eagle. How you spell it, L-E? If I misspell it, you'll have to do the rest of it. I never have had no education, so you don't need it that way. You put it where it's supposed to be. But just think now. What was the fourth combat beast to be? An eagle. Then you look out here to prove that it's here, and over half the doors in the country is what? It's an eagle. You take a dollar bill out of your pocket. How many years have you had dollar bills? You know, take a dollar bill out and look at it. The great seal of the United States and all them things up on there. But what do you see on the back of it? Pyramid. The great seal. The all-seeing eye. The seeing, the prophetic, the eagle. Prophetic, see. But now think. Then that fourth seal, church, the rapture comes in the fourth seal, but it's the seventh church age when it comes down there because each one of these others, but that fourth seal shows that there is an alive word right now being lived upon this earth. It's no longer prophecy. Brother Branham said, you remember what he was talking about there one time about the in 1962 when he said, sirs, what time is, you know, could this be? But then he comes along over there about 2 or 3 years later and he says it this way. He said, what was prophecy 3 years ago is now history. The seals are broke. Well, then why can't we believe it? We were going to Athens Thursday night, Brother Hantus, Brother Woodby, and Brother Anderson, myself. We were riding down the road, we got talking about something. Brother Anderson said, here, I got something I want you to read, how the year 83 of what it is. And you know, Reagan has declared the year of 83 the year of the Bible. He exhorts everybody to read the Bible. Then you know what the Pope calls it? He calls it the year of redemption. Calls it a jubilee year. And then this little article Brother Anderson had handed back there for me to read, the Pope in his declaration of this being the year of redemption, he called it, and this is what's in there, he called it, said he wrote this thing, and it was called the bull, B-U-L-L-E or A or something like that in the Latin, you know, or what they call it over there, or the Greek, or what he speaks, I don't know what language it is. But anyhow, to us, it's just bull, what it was called. And you know what that consists of? You know what that was? It was called a seal. But you know what it was? It was four documents proclaiming this year as the year of redemption. He wrote four documents proclaiming this to be the year of redemption, and when he finished and handed it down to people, you know what it was? It was a seal. It was a bull, B-U-L-L. He said it was a seal. But the people of this message read Brother Branham's message, and they hear what he has to say about it, and he says here is seven oracles, seven seals, and they say, now you see, you are written epistles. You are the seal made alive, manifested. What were we talking about? Word? It's fine laying there, but it's not the manifested word yet, is it? Until that word is revealed to you, like you say, you're sick, and you say, by his stripes I'm healed, you have spoke the word because it's been revealed to you. You might go 3 months, 3 years before you're healed. You have spoke the word, but it's not the word made manifest. But those four seals show that there was a word made manifest upon this earth. And you and I are that fourth seal word being made manifest here in the seventh church age. We're the alive word. So where are we in the Bible? Where are we in the Bible? In the illustration the prophet's giving through the actors of the seals, we're in the fourth seal. And that fourth seal don't just show a prophecy. That seal shows an alive word. That seal shows a word that is made alive to a church. Now we are then the written epistle. The combat beast was the spirit among the people. This is what made the word alive. Now look across the country and see if you can find the combat beast among the people. And you'll see whether the word's alive or not. You know yourself it's not made alive to most people, is it? Brother Branham in his reference there, when he was talking, I think, about Billy Graham and the Acts of the Apostles was the scaffold work or something for the gospel or every which way he had that there in the seal book. I could find it for you. But he said, I don't understand how come he can't see that. He said, I see now. He said, the seal's not broke to him. Well, you know, that's what's wrong with the people today. That's what's wrong across the land today. The seal's not broke to the people. If the seal was broke to the people, they'd see the alive word sitting right there before. This church age is alive. We are living the word. We're no longer prophecy. Back in Luther's time, we were prophecy. We hadn't come. In Wesley's time, we were prophecy. We hadn't come. But now we're no longer prophecy. Brother Brown said, when that last name is spliced into the blood of Jesus Christ, he said, Jesus will come, man. Why? Because the alive word will be here. You are written epistles known and read of all men. What? You are the word that has been written, made alive. The seventh church age at one time was a history. Was a prophecy. Now it's a history. Because it's already being made known right now. So the book of Acts is here. the acts of the Holy Spirit among the church. But you know, people can't see that because they're blind. Why do you think this building's so empty tonight? Just tell the truth. Why do you think it's so empty? The people don't see that the word's being preached here. That's why it's empty. Ain't that the truth? I mean, I know that and you know that. This church would be full. We'd have to get another building if they thought the word was being preached here. But I'm telling you, if you don't think it is, you better leave. I started off here with about 60-something, 65 people. We had extra seats sitting everywhere. I'm not proud of the fact that it's an empty building tonight. But I'll say one thing, it's not been busted because of no marriage and divorce problem. You know, it's not been busted because some false doctrine came in here and split the church up. It's not been busted because of any of the things that busted the other churches up. But where's the people? They don't believe that the Word is alive. But I have to. Everybody says we're here at the end of the world. Well, then when's the Word going to be made alive? It's just like I told the brothers down in Atlanta, we were talking, there it goes to Brother Hembry's church. I asked them the other day, I said, brothers, what would happen? There had been a lot of conversation made about California, you know, going under. And now this water just running all over it and just honeycombed. It's just eating out and it's just falling away. And I was over at my mother's the other day, or my brother's visiting with my mother, and they happened to have the news on why they just showed waves coming in, just tearing the houses down, just sweeping them out, just great big cracks in the ground just opening up, and just volcanic eruptions now down in into Hawaii, and all kind of things going on all over the world. And I sat there and watched that, and I said, Lord, she's going under. Because it's just eating away. They've been miles back under California and know that it's just like a honeycomb under there. They've been miles under California with these submarines and back under there and come back out. It's just honeycomb waiting for some water source to just keep sloshing it away and just keep beating it away. And one day it'll go under. But I asked them, I said, brothers, if we were standing here right now and this building started trembling and started falling all around us, and I said, it came on the news. The radio's blasting throughout the plant anyway. I said, it came on the news and saying that California had just sunk. I said, where would that put us in the rapture? That's what everybody's looking at. Everybody's looking at this coming April the 3rd. One of the brothers looking in March sometime, 14th or something, to be a great devastating earthquake, either this year or next year. One, I really don't understand all about it because I didn't pay that much attention to it. I don't know exactly what year. I get them confused anyway. But everybody's looking at something about California going under, you know. Where's that going to put us in the rapture? I thought the rapture was a revelation. I didn't know it was California going under. I didn't know it was Israel surrounded on all sides. I didn't know it was Russia that was mad because they were defeated here while back in Lebanon, and they found their secret documents of how they were going to destroy us. I didn't know all of that was to be the rapture. I thought the rapture was to be a revelation of God's Word. I thought the prophet said when the bride sees who she is, she'll be gone. I didn't know it was when California goes under. I'm trying to get you and me to see who we are by the Word. I know the seal now to go under to find me in you, because the fourth seal is the rapture of the church. The seventh seal is the coming of the Lord, bringing Him here. Then church, think about it. It's a revelation unto us. And it's got to be revealed first before it can be made manifest. What will cause California to go under won't be the eating away of the earthquakes. That'll do it in the natural. But what will cause it to be done is the bride of Christ coming to the place she's supposed to be by revelation. Where's the people at now? They don't believe the Word is being revealed. That's true. They don't believe it. And really, honestly, I'm not throwing off on nobody. I don't blame them. Because I'm just like Brother Branham was when he was standing there. And he said, just think of all the great places in the world that God could reveal himself. But sit down here in a little old tabernacle like this, revealing himself to the people. He said, no wonder. I'm just like him. No wonder people wouldn't believe it. See, it's too simple to come down that far. But yet we're always taught that that was where it comes down to. But now I got this drawing at home where this man shows the rapture and where it's supposed to come in a certain age, you know, between 6 and 9 and all like that. Come in there about 7 o'clock some morning. And the way, the only thing I can get out of it, we're going to have everyone be out about Tucson to go in the rapture. I mean, that's all I can get out of it. I'll let you look the drawing and read what he said and see what you think about. That's all I can see, that we're going to have to be out there. Now, where's that in the message? I thought it, the rapture was a revelation. The seal reveals, listen, unto us, the seals are revealed by what we see in the ages. Now get that point. What we see in the church ages, then by that, see, then you'll see the prophet had to preach ages first. Then he preached the seals, because he said each one of them come out of the other one as it come down, see, coming on down. Then by seeing the church ages, we see the seals revealed. Then when we see the seal, we see the ages as the alive word. The word that's alive right here among us. So we can see then in Revelations 2 and 3 that it's written. But that's not the alive word. That's only prophecy, as I say. But now here we are, when we come down to the seal, we see that the word has been made alive. When the seal came off the book, now just think, if it hadn't have been that this book was sealed, then anything added to it would have been an addition, and the book, the church at Ephesus, would have been an addition to the word if it hadn't been revealed in the seal. Even though it was a prophecy, you'd have an addition. That's why no denomination will ever fit in the Bible, nowhere, because it won't fit there. As I said this morning, I don't care if it's called Branhamites or who it's called. Me and you denominate, it's not in the Bible. There's no such thing in the Bible. The Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, in that, they can be people in those churches all across the country that God will bring them out and bring them to the Word. But there's not a denomination in the Bible because it won't fit nowhere. There's no place to put it. I don't care whether it's me or you or who it is. I don't talk about the Baptist and Methodist no more than I do me and you, and you know that. Because I'm talking to me and you, I ain't talking to them. I'm talking to me and you. It wouldn't do me no good to talk about them. They're blinded, but we're not. If we're blinded, it's willful. They're blinded because they can't see. They've never heard. But you and I are blinded because we want to be blinded if we're blinded. But do you see it? The first seal, the lion, as he tore it off and showed that. He showed the first three ages as it come down through there. And what did he show? He showed the Antichrist as his riding down through. But what was the main thing that the Holy Spirit was showing to the first three ages? That the lion of the tribe of Judah was there in combat. When Satan comes in, Isaiah there 50, what is it, 50? Three or something. Isaiah, there where we were talking about the other day, when Satan comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. See, when Satan went out, first seal tore off, saw what? Why, horse rider going yonder way. But what was opposing that? The lion of the tribe of Judah showed the first three ages. Second seal broke what? Ox. Rode out to combat. What showed? Fourth age. Showed the alive word for that age. Now, each one of those church ages is not no history or anything else. It's the word written, made alive. Your written epistle. As they came down, they were made alive. As each age came forth, it was the alive word for the age. Then we see the seals as they open up and show us the alive word. You say, what does the seals do for us? The seals open up and show us the alive word. Where's the word alive? In our hearts. Ye are written epistles known and read of all men. Watch it just a minute if we can get to that far. Think about the ages revealed by the seals. That's 346, because that's where he said it does. The ages and the seals are revealed that way. Put that down and read it when you get home. Then think about how that it's the complete revelation of Jesus Christ that he has revealed throughout the seven church ages. The seals are the complete revelation of Jesus Christ as he is revealed down through the seven church ages. Revealed as what? Luther's little justification. That's part of the Bible. Just the message he preached to the just shall live by faith. That's part of the Bible. He lived that word. He didn't add to the word. He lived that word. Wesley, sanctification. He lived that word. The Pentecostal, baptism and the Holy Ghost, they live that word. You and I have got a word to live. Somebody's going to come to the place that they catch it from the word and say, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Get on away from me. And they won't die. They'll be changed. Somebody's coming to that place. Somebody's going to live that word. But the only way you'll ever come to that place is to first see you here as what? In this age of radio seal. What is it? Seventh age, under the fourth seal, the eagle combat, now revealing the word to us. And what's it revealing? Now think. Now what did I say this morning? What's the seal revealing? Why was it that Moses spent all his time talking about himself? Now wasn't that what we was talking about this morning? Why did Abraham and all them spend all of their time talking about theirself? Why was the book of Acts written about what they done? Why did Paul talk about himself all the time? And then you see Brother Branham when he started in them seals and he come down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then he stopped. He caught something. He started talking about himself. He started, as I said this morning, 5 minutes on the seal. This is the seven thunders that breaks here and this is what this is. And then he starts talking for an hour and a half about his own ministry. Why? Because he saw in those seals that the word was made alive throughout his life. That's what he saw. Paul saw the word made alive, didn't he? And he talked about what he'd done. Moses saw the word made alive and talked about what he'd done. All right, then you and I see the word made alive, and what do we talk about? What is happening right among us now? The Word being revealed to us now. The alive Word. We can see it then from that, can't we? Page 10, if you want to put it down. Each of the rapture book. Each age made manifest the Word for the age. Each age made manifest the Word for the age. See how the seals are not an addition to the Word? But how the word is sealed up until it's made alive. The word is sealed up now. This Bible is sealed up. Get that one statement if you don't get nothing else tonight. The word is sealed up until it's made alive. Until that word is made alive, it's sealed up. When Brother Branham saw the seal come off of it, what did he see? He saw his entire life. And talked about the things that had happened in his life. When Moses saw it, what did he talk about? What had happened in his life. When Paul saw it, what did he talk about? What had happened in his life. Brother Branham on Christ is a Mystery of God revealed. You may need to go back and read it. He said, we'll see this day what God had in his mind from the foundation of the world. Talking about the seventh seal. And then what did he say? He said, then you'll see why I've done what I've done. All of my years here at the tabernacle. Talking about his own self. You I challenge you. If you don't think I'm talking in the right terms, take any book right there you want to and start reading on it and see if Brother Branham ain't talking about his own self. Put on any tape, there's some 900 back there, and see if Brother Branham don't start talking about his own self and don't start telling you the things that happened in his ministry. What's he trying to get you to see? That he was God? That ain't what he's trying to get you to see. He's trying to get you to see that God is with us. You can only talk about what you are. I can't tell you about Moses and how he walked the shores of walked down through the sands of Egypt. I wouldn't dare. I'm talking about physically. But the spirit that's in me tonight was there walking that right there with that man. So I was there. I can talk about it that way by revelation, but I can't tell you about it because I wouldn't dare physically, would. But I read the Bible and I read about him doing it. I don't know that there was a James and a John and a Peter and a Matthew and a Mark and a Luke and a Philip and all of them others. But I read the Bible. I see they had the same spirit. Then what? I can associate myself with that same group of people. Do you see what I'm driving about? I don't know how to say it anymore. I've tried this week to try to find a way to say it to where that you'd see what I'm driving at. God among us made manifest. A manifestation of the Word. If not, we're an addition to the Bible. We can make ourselves think that we're something. But why do that? Why not just wait and let God reveal what we are? Was Brother Branham lying when he told about the squirrels and all of the things that happened in his ministry? Was he lying when he told about the bull that was fixing to kill him? No, he's telling the truth, wasn't he? Who was he bragging on? His own self. He's bragging on God. Who was Moses bragging on? When Moses done all the things he done wrong and wrote it down there. Moses smote the rock when he was told to go speak to it. Done all them things wrong that he done down through there. Run down out of Egypt, out into the wilderness. Just because that some Pharaoh was trying to kill him. Do you think he would have wrote that about himself? Do you think David would have wrote of the things that he done in his life when he took the woman away from Uriah and took Bathsheba away, I believe is her name, away from him and had a child by her and it died? Do you think he'd have wrote that about himself? Do you think he'd have wrote about himself like that? No. A Jew's a mighty proud people. As they said here a while back when they had that thing, they said, where in the world would you find a nation that would pick of their own people? You know, that Lebanon crisis, and they said about the killing of those Palestinians and all that they were blamed for. They said, where in the world would you find a people that would pick of their own people somebody to decide whether or not they were guilty? And then do what they said on their recommendation. Those children of Israel are a proud people, but they're straight and honest people too. Then we could at least be that much. And the Bible then will be made revealed to you. The seals are not an addition. Brother Brown's message is not an addition to the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's what the Bible's about. You and I are not an addition to the Bible, even though the Bible was finished 2,000 years ago in its writing. We're not an addition to it. Let's just read one more, and then we'll just stop on it. Because if you can see what I'm talking about, then I've accomplished my goal. Let's just see if we can find it. Let me just give these to you as I go through them. Page 32. The Word manifests for this day. When the traditional veil is rent, here he is manifesting the Word for this day. That's page 32, the unveiling of God. Page 36, he says, to us it's a manifestation, see. It's no more a word. It's a reality. No longer just a word. Now watch what he said on page 37. All true believers, that's in the Word, see openly, the veil's rent and God stands openly before you, manifested. God manifested openly. In order to do this, our old denominational traditional veil must be rent. Get out to the bottom of the page. He says, that is His Word made manifest, the portion that's promised to this day. Then there's a portion of the word promised to this day to be made manifest, aren't you? Page 29 is one. I didn't pass it. Watch what he says now. If you think it, don't tie to the seals and see how they reveal it. Listen to this. It's page 29. Oh, brother, sister, are you catching it? Look, don't you see it's been veiled through these ages according to what God said? And it would be opened in the last days. Those seven seals would be broke. Now, he said here that it's been veiled. Now, think a minute and see. If this don't bring something to your heart, then I don't know what will. Nobody down through those seven church ages knew they were living those seals. There ain't a man in those ages preached they're living those seals. They just lived their lives. As the Bible said about the Old Testament we're quoting this morning, it's an ensample for us. They lived their lives out. Or I was quoting it there a while ago. They lived their lives out just as an ensample for us, an example for us. The seven church ages lived their lives out not knowing what they were doing. They're just doing what the Spirit in them said to do. But now we've got to know what they were to find out what we are. So watch what he says. Oh, brother, sister, are you catching it? Don't you see? It's been veiled through these ages according to what God said. And it would be open in the last days. Those seven seals would be broke and the full thing would come into view of the people. What took place all along. See, in other words, what took place all along come into full view of the people. The hour of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries of God should be made known in that Elijah, in this last hour, how that Christ is put out of the church, the Son of God, how he's revealed as the Son of Man again, how that the church is to be put in order and everything for the last day, no creed, no denomination. Just absolutely the Word living in the individual. I'll take one and leave one. That's what he's saying. I'll take this and I'll leave that. The Word, what? Living in the individual. Page 38. And when you see the Word made manifest, you see the Father. That's what he's saying. When you see the Word manifest, you see the Father. God, because Father God, because the Word is the Father, the Word is God, and the Word manifest, made manifest, is God himself taking his own Word and manifesting it among believers. Page 40 be the last one. Joyce, would you come? Now watch, he quotes the Scripture. As it is written, see, written, ye are written epistles, the Bible said. Now what is epistle? Is a written word, and ye are written. Other words, now listen, other words, you'd read it like this. Now you say, well, your written epistles read and known and read of all men. Here's the way you're supposed to really read it. You are written epistles are, you are the word that's been written, made manifest. Now that's the way you're supposed to read that scripture. You're supposed to say, not that I am a written epistle, that looks like it adds to the Bible, don't it? But to say that I am the epistle that's been written, made manifest. I'm the seventh church age word made manifest. I'm under the fourth seal living that word, making it alive to where you can see it. Now listen, everyone says, they've always come to me and said, Brother Branham, them seven thunders that the voice thundered, and he said, write it not, see, but close it up. Said, that'll be seven thunders that'll be revealed in the last day. See, seven thunders that'll tell us. Now don't that sound real good? But watch what you're talking about when you say that. He said, see that you write it not. These seven thunders uttered their voices, see, and he said, don't write that. See, but it's to be sealed up in the book until the last days. And someone has been, many has been saying to me, and theologians said, Brother Branham, if the Lord said, if with your experience that the Lord has given you for his people, humbly saying this, said, you'd be eligible to write a Bible yourself, your word that God has manifested. I said, that might be true. See, he was trying to catch me. I said, but you see, I couldn't do that. He said, why couldn't you? You have all the qualifications. I said, but you look. One word cannot be added or taken away. So Brother Branham couldn't do it either, could he? And he said, well, them seven them seven thunders, you see, wouldn't them seven thunders blasting out, won't that be revealed? Be revelations be given to some man? I said, no, sir. It would be adding something to it. Now, everybody's looking for the thunders to be something extra. Here he says it. Says, no. It's all... I said, no, sir. It would be adding something to it or taking something from it. It's all revealed in there, and the seven seals opened up the revelation of what that was. Now listen, ye are written epistles, read of all man, are, you are, translate that, turn it around this way, see, just turn it around. You are epistles that has been written because you can't add nothing to it. That's read of all man, manifested word of God, in other words. Outside of that, we'd just be an addition with it. Outside of being the manifested word. Would just be an addition. Let's just stand and sing a verse of something before we take the communion. If anyone has a need, then come and the altar's open. Whatever you have, let's just sing. 209, I feel like traveling on. Because that's what I feel like doing, don't you? I believe that we can see. Go home and think about it. You might not have caught what I said, but think about it and pray about it. Those seals reveal that we are the alive Word, living this age and time where we are. Then that makes me feel like traveling. Let's just sing this now. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Sing the last one now. The Lord, anyone has a need now as we sing this one before we take the communion. Feel like traveling on until that blessed home I see. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel, do you? Traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Amen. You can be seated if you like as we turn to a reading of the scripture, and then we'll go right into the communion. I know there's just a small number of us, but still the communion's a communion if they wouldn't be but two of us with. Still be the same communion, but let's read our scripture in the communion. If I can finally get the pages turned. From 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 23, as Brother Colley prepares the communion. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's stand together and just remember what the communion is. Just remember, it doesn't matter because it's just a small number. In the book there of Ephesus, there was about 12. So we got half of them left. And that'd be enough. But let's just break the bread and go right into communion. It's the broken body of Jesus Christ. Not wouldn't the whole body, it was broken at Calvary. We break the bread believing that this is just a symbol of the body and the blood. It's not the real thing. It's just a symbol of it. But yet, we know that the Bible says do this until he comes. I'm not throwing off on the brothers, but some believe that he's already come and they quit taking the communion. They don't take it anymore. They thank the Lord's already come. If they just knew what they were talking about, it might be a different thing. And I believe he's still in the process of coming, don't you? And we do it till he gets here. Father, we ask you to sanctify this bread. We know that it's in symbolic of your body. We know that there's just a small handful of us here tonight to partake. But yet, Lord, we know in that in the partaking of it, that we remember you and your body. We ask you, Father, to sanctify this bread. Lord, let it be an assembly to us as thy word that we receive. Lord, then, as we partake of it, may it give the spiritual nourishment to each one. In Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to sanctify this wine to our bodies, and may it give a stimulation, because it's what it represents, to the bodies of each one that partake of the word, that we may all be together in one in you. Sanctify it, sanctify the ones that partake of it. In Jesus' name. Bible says they tarry one for another. Let's just have a moment of silent prayer before we take. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Let's just remain standing, reading John, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 2, as Brother Colley prepares for the foot washing. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wash them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. The ladies may retire to the back room for the foot washing.
Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Let others seek a home below, feel like traveling on, where flames defy not, waves o'erflow, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Lord, give him honor among his people.